This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today our special guest is Brady Miller. Brady is with Texas Cattle Feeders Association, headquartered in Amarillo. We'll talk feeders in just a few moments. Well, let's turn right now to Seth Meyer, chief economist with USDA. He's talking about the expected increased importance of domestic soybean production.
Domestic crush has been pretty profitable. Crush margins look pretty good. Soy oil demand has been pretty strong, and soybean oil prices up until very recently have been driving bean prices. So I think that we, to the extent we want to see continued strength in demand for soybean oil to help support domestic crush and domestic bean use, I think that that'll be important for the soybean market.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Brady Miller. Brady is Director of Market, Membership, and Education with Texas Cattle Feeders in Amarillo. And Brady, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Tony, thank you for having me on and looking forward to our visit, and hope you had a very good holidays and a Happy New Year, and hope you have a great 2022 as well.
Well, I'm glad you started there, because in order to get to 2022, maybe we need to look in the rearview mirror for just a moment. It's kind of dangerous when you're plowing and you're looking behind you, but it is important to just get an idea of whether or not those rows were straight. Okay, enough of the analogy here. But when we look back at 2021, how would you characterize the year for cattle feeders?
Yeah, Tony, good question. And you're exactly right. You got to go back and look at 2021 and beyond to figure out where we're going in the future. In 2021, I think there was lots of high hope for 2021. We thought we were going to see the top of the cattle cycle at the end of 2020. With COVID occurring, it kind of spread that out and made that a longer tail than what we expected. So the top of the cattle cycle lasted into 2021. But if you look back at 2021, if you look back a year ago, we were trading fats at about 108 to 110. Now, if you come full circle or you come 12 months ahead, we are now today trading fats at about 140. Again, if you go back and look at cattle coming out of the feed yards, and that's what I'm calling fats, we were losing, and most of 2021, on a cash basis, the feed yards were selling animals in the red. Now, here for the last couple of months, we have probably been selling cattle on a cash basis in the black. So if you look back from 2021, coming full circle, coming full speed ahead to the first week of 2022, we went from losing most weeks to actually making some money now. So yes, 2021, look at it in the rearview mirror and happy that it occurred and is going to help us lead this thing forward, but sure glad that we're in 2022.
How big of a driver has demand been on the side, and how much of it could be attributed to things like just a cattle supply that's shrinking?
Yes. So again, another good question, Tony. Supply is the driver in everything that we do. We have to have good demand. We have to have good consumer people eating our product for this thing to be sustainable and to move it forward. So domestically, I mean, on average, every person in the U.S. on average is eating about 58 pounds of beef per year. And that is up from where it has been over the last 10 years. So demand has been super good domestically. But I'll also add in here that demand for the exports has been super good as well. We've been seeing lots of good numbers in exports, and we hope that continues. And I will mention the export number here because it plays a very important role in just how profitable the industry is in the U.S., is because in the export market, it brings about $350 per fed animal back to our animals So without that $350, it would be very difficult for me to sit here and say that the industry was in a good place and that we are being profitable today.
When we talk about the exports, we're also talking about not necessarily exporting cuts that we're used to consuming. We're talking about some of the offals and the drop credits as well, right?
That is exactly right. You know, typically we talk about exports and why they're so important is because it's part of the animal that is not consumed in the U.S. and that the only way that you get value for those animals are to be able to export those animals. Now, one of the changes that is occurring in the export market, which I think is super important as well, is that we're starting to export more of what I call the middle meats, the high price cuts, which is important. Because we usually look at exports on a metric ton and how many tons did we export to a certain country. But I think today it's also super important to also look at not just metric tons, but also look at how many dollars are coming back. And that is a sign of more of the middle cuts and the high dollar cuts being exported outside of the U.S. And so that is starting to occur, and I think it's a good thing. And I think it's a sign of the U.S. cattle producer producing some of the best beef in the world. And the export and the consumers are paying dividends, and it's paying dividends for the producer producing that type of animal.
So, Brady, as we've watched prices increase for producers, if you will, and we're talking about cattle, we can't really divorce ourselves from the grain side of the equation either. We've seen those prices rally, which I guess in the feeder's perspective is somewhat of a squeeze on profit. Are there some concerns as we move into 2022 where grain prices, feed grain prices are today?
You are exactly right, Tony. It is a major concern moving forward. Today, I mean, we've been bouncing around at $6 corn, and I think there are a couple of things looking into 2022 that are problem areas for the cattle producer in the U.S. One, and I'll start off by saying this, one is I think it's the drought and the continual drought type atmosphere that we have found ourselves in. And I think that's going to occur, if you listen to the climatologists, that's going to occur here for the next 8 or 9 months before we end up turning to a El Nino type climate pattern. But the other one that you mentioned was inflation. And when I talk inflation at the meat counter is real, and it has occurred, and we see it and hear it in the news all the time. But for the U.S. cattle producer, one of the things that is important is also the inflation in the input cost. So we always talk about price, and I started off this conversation with saying today the feed yards are making about $140 per hundredweight coming out of the feed yard. A year ago, I mentioned that we were making 110. From the point from going from 110 to 140, we were losing about $100 an animal on a cash basis. And I think today, where I'm going with this discussion is today, and if we look into it, at least through the middle part of 2022, that I think we're going to stay in this 140 to 145 range. And we go from making money on the animal that is leaving the yard today to when you talk about replacing that animal that you shipped for harvest, that animal that is coming into the yard is actually about $100 loser. And so that was a long-winded way of saying inflation plays a big role, because the inflation piece of that is the cause for, yes, we can make more money per animal, but that doesn't mean you're more profitable as you make more money because of the inflation piece.
Well, we're already into the 2022 discussion, so you've brought in things like drought. We saw the drought really is continuing across a good portion of the western U.S., and we're seeing drought now on the southern plains, something we still remember from just about 10 years ago. As we move forward into 2022, what else is on the radar?
Yeah, so you mentioned the drought, and it's and you mentioned the 10-year ago drought, and we have many bad memories from that. Unfortunately, I think if we don't see moisture here pretty soon, it started in the West in 2021, and now it's just expanded across the South and the South Plains, and I think it will continue to spread across, you know, into Louisiana and hit some of that area. So the drought is a big, big thing that we have coming, looking and staring us in the face. We're hoping that we get some timely rains and that everything turns out okay, but it's one of the big factors that we have to look at, and it's one of the big drivers in profitability and what this thing looks like moving forward. The other issues that I think we have to pay attention to in 2022, of course, we talked about inflation, and those are input inflations, along with inflation at the meat counter. If the consumer can't afford to buy your product, it doesn't fare well for no matter how much product you produce or you don't produce and what prices you get. So I think between drought and inflation moving forward are two key factors that we have to look at. And then I'm going to throw one in here, and we have to look at what the government and the spending and the funds that are going and where that money is going. So I think, and the main issue I'm talking about here, and it's been a discussion over the last couple of years, is how much government intervention, how much government help do we need in this industry to help keep it sustainable and profitable moving forward. And so I named three big issues there that we have to look out for and that we have to manage moving forward. And I think we'll end up working through it as we have always in the past, but there are issues that we have to manage.
And speaking of managing, we talked about Texas cattle feeders to start the program and your position there. Going through 2022, what do we see on the management side of Texas cattle feeders? What's happening there?
Yeah, so good tie in the management. You know, we're very sad to say that Ross Wilson, president and CEO, been with the TCFA for the last 37 years. He decided to retire and do some other things within the industry. But with that is excitement. And the excitement is that Ben Weinheimer is coming. Well, he isn't coming. He's been with TCFA. I want to say, I'm going to mess this up, but I want to say he's been with TCFA for about 26 years. And he has taken over the president CEO role, and he's going to lead TCFA in the right path, down the right road. So we're excited about the future once again.
Always great to visit with you, Brady. Will you come back and see us soon?
Tony, I would love to come back and visit with you anytime.
Again, Brady Miller is Director of Market, Membership, and Education for Texas Cattle Feeders Association, TCFA, in Amarillo. It's the Agribusiness Report. The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Brady Miller with Texas Cattle Feeders Association.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable. Grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Denver, we caught up with Dr. Kerry Ryan, pet cloning and genetic preservation expert with Viagen in Cedar Park, Texas.
We've been working with dogs and cats for 3 years. We're the only company in the United States that clones dogs and the only company in the world that clones cats. And we've also been cloning horses and livestock for about 15 years. So I think this will be here to stay. And I think as we get better and better at it, the costs will come down and people will be more and more interested in it.
There's more information at avma.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Find Texas cattle feeders online at tcfa.org.
Control your growing environment like never before with a Sunflower 1436 disc harrow. With a design that is fine-tuned to work precisely and easily, you can give each seed its best shot at a healthy return. Whatever your soil type or tillage practice, the Sunflower line of disc harrows is your best choice for rugged, reliable performance. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Denver, we caught up with Michael Gerge from Student Loan Advisor.
I think the biggest thing to remember when it comes down to student loans and student loan forgiveness is that you have to be very, very vigilant, because it really can be one of the biggest empowering choices of your life to go out and get this degree inside of the veterinary field, or it can be a tremendous roadblock if it's not managed properly. So we really try and encourage that as the overarching theme and the top line piece of advice that we give to folks.
There's more valuable information on avma.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack in May said when it comes to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement and enforcement of such,
whether it's wheat, dairy, any other commodity, we want to make sure that the agreement that opens up new market opportunities, that expands market opportunities, is actually implemented in the way it was intended.
Those comments coming at the same time the U.S. Trade Representative's office requested a dispute settlement panel under USMCA regarding Canada's use of dairy tariff rate quotas, claiming Canada was limiting access to in-quota quantities of U.S. dairy exports. On Tuesday, word came that this first-ever USMCA dispute settlement panel ruled last month in favor of the U.S. Under the trade agreement's rules, Canada has 45 days from the December 20th final report to comply with the panel's findings. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.
It's the Agribusiness Report.